Jesus, criminy.
This is Evander Holyfield, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Randy's on the sports scene. He's working all the time. Brings you all the scores you need, so get him on the line. Pick up the phone and call him now and say what's on your mind. They should pay him double, cause he's working overtime.
Evander Holyfield.
Craig LeBron,
Jim Palmer,
Tony Fernandez, Hardy Nickerson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy.
This is Bill Murphy.
My two men, Randy Savage.
Ray Nitschke.
Chris Evert.
George Foreman, and I'm talking sports with Randy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Randy Harris. I don't think he believes it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's very important you don't stink today.
The Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
Welcome back to another episode of Talking Sports, everybody. This is Weggs here in studio. We have a full studio, kind of different for us. Everybody here, when I say everybody, that's actually everybody except for Randy, the guy whose name's on the show. But we do have Sean, KO Radio, here with us.
I'm here.
And then, is this thing on?
Is this thing on?
There we go.
Is it on? Is it on?
It's on. Yeah.
And then we also have a newcomer to the show. We'd like to welcome Tim Rogers.
Hey! Thanks for having me.
You've been doing radio stuff for how long?
Radio stuff. I've been in and out of radio for a few years between a career in the Army and a career in the music industry. But backfilling it today for Randy. Every time I say Randy, I think of Dirty Randy. I'm a league. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
I know. I hope he's listening.
Well, it's terrible and great all at the same time, but. We love him. He's in Baltimore, right?
Yes, sir.
Right now, he's actually on his way, I think probably en route right now to Jimmy's Seafood, along with the rest of the Harris Boys. Is that a true statement?
It is a men's trip. That is correct.
So
Jimmy's Seafood, I believe a baseball game tonight, and maybe a concert tomorrow.
Gotcha. They're gonna be busy.
A full weekend. Full itinerary.
Yeah, They're popping around Baltimore. They're going up to Atlantic City.
Yeah, he said he was hitting AC. He said he was hitting Philly, too. Which you may as well. They're right up the street from each other. So,
It's just food. Yeah.
That's all it is.
Geno's and Pat's?
Yeah, Geno's and Pat's. He said he's going to hit a couple other spots, too. I mean, I'm a little jealous there because, I mean, although Philly sucks at sports. Oh, dig. There's lots of Philly people down here. They do
have great
food.
Careful. We're in Clearwater, so... We have Bright House Networks Field just down the street. You might get mugged.
I know.
Rabid Phillies fans. So that said, we may or may not get a call from Randy to talk about what all is going on with his trip. But in the meantime, another week has gone by, so that means we have plenty of stuff to talk about regarding the sports world. Talking about sports world, Olympics still going on. We have just a couple more days. I think it's the 21st where they will be wrapping everything up, and currently watching USA versus Italy in indoor men's volleyball. Currently, USA is down 1-0, 21-19. So obviously glued to the TV right now, but big news for everybody, especially here in Florida, is Ryan Lochte and his ability to mess things up, his inability to keep his nose clean.
And to stretch the truth a little bit.
Yeah, he's playing fast and loose with the facts. So for those who haven't followed the story or just aren't caught up, do tell what exactly is the latest on the controversy with whether or not they were mugged and stolen and all that stuff.
I guess what it's looking like now is there was no mugging, no interaction at all. But it looked like they were a little drunk and wild, leaving the French house there. and tore up a restroom at a gas station quite a bit, apparently. That's kind of what the video is showing. And I guess they used that money that they said was stolen from them to pay restitution for you know, tearing up the gas station there. It looks like they were pretty lit. I can't fault them for that. You win those medals, you show up there, you know, and you cut loose after all the stress of swimming's over. I get that. I just don't get why they would lie about being mugged, robbed, whatever we want to call this. You know, I don't see a reason to it. But whatever, I'm not them. I think that probably happened while they weren't making the smartest decisions, being a little bit inebriated there. But hey. Yeah, so Lochte's a liar. Is that the new catchphrase?
Get that liar? Trending. Hashtag,
yeah, hashtag Lochte's a liar.
I it's hard for me to. I'm sure there's some people that are going to be on the Lochte bandwagon that are going to defend him and the other individuals involved, defend their actions, but
not when there's closed circuit video. You can't defend it when you see what happened.
You know, and it's 2016. There's closed circuit video everywhere. There's cell phones everywhere. I don't understand how you could not. I'd think ahead before I did that. This stuff's got to be on tape. Why would we make this up? again, they must have been super inebriated, right? That's the only answer I've got.
Well, and I guess at this point in time, they're back in the United States. So really, what can be done on the behalf of Brazil to I don't know. Get
one of the swimmers had to pay $11,000. To get back.
So they caught him before they got the other two.
They got three of the four. They pulled two off a plane.
Right. Lochte escaped.
Okay. Lochte was the only one who got out.
Beat feet and left country. Yeah.
So in this entire thing, I don't know if you could tell who's who in the video. Can you identify who's doing what?
Oh, yeah.
What?
You can see that silver hair.
That silver hair is what you see the most, you know, and he's just.
So he's the one that's doing the majority?
One of the ones. I think they were drunk and yeah. Woo! That happened. You know, like those woo girl, the sorority girls in college. I think Lochte was woo girl and a little too hard there at the gas station.
Hashtag woo girl.
Hashtag woo girl Lochte. Man, hating on this guy. No, I think more so what I'd be looking. I don't think we're going to see a lot from Brazil, but I'd like to see what the United States Olympic Committee does about this. Is he going to be suspended? You know, we did have Ryan Phelps was suspended for the last from London games. Was
or
it the
Michael,
last games?
Michael
I'm
Phelps.
I'm sorry,
too.
Michael Phelps. My brain is totally not working. No, anyway, Phelps was suspended for his DUIs.
Yeah.
Was it like 6 months though?
No, he sat out for quite a while. I'm trying to remember. Let's go back and look. But are they going to do the same thing with Lochte because of what he did for our image as Team USA?
Yeah, you're representing the country and. He's Sean. How old did you say he is?
I think he's 29 or 30.
So if he's 29 or 30, does he not have another Olympics under his belt? We know that Phelps won't be there.
32.
32.
He's 32. Okay, so to me, he almost definitely won't be in another Olympics.
But he may swim in a world championship or something like that under the Team USA banner.
Well, and so this is where a suspension comes into play. If he would. Maybe not be suspended, but just be removed from the team altogether. Is that an appropriate reaction to what we have seen?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I think what might have gotten a long way from was a good, heartfelt, honest apology, which we didn't get from him. He was kind of, hey, I'm kind of sorry.
Or just that Sunday or Monday morning, whenever the day after, say, you know what, this is what happened. You know, we drank a little too much, went to a gas station, kind of roughed it up a little bit.
Did some stupid stuff.
Yeah, we apologize. We paid for it. Thank you, Brazil. We're out.
He's 32 years old. This is not just
this is
some kid who's getting a little.
But look at the lifestyle that they live, city to city, the fame that they have. He's a big deal down there now that Phelps is gone, trying to run the show. Because it seemed like he was the leader of the pack when I watched the video.
It seems like he wasn't he ranked number one for quite a while too?
Yeah.
I think he is the leader of the pack of the team next to Phelps. I don't know. It'll just be interesting to see what happens going forward. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of suspension or sanction taken.
I would hope. I would definitely hope. Another thing we have to cover is women's volleyball. A big deal was Team USA not moving on to the gold medal match. They played the Brazil 2 team, their second team.
Were you talking indoor or beach?
Beach.
Beach, okay.
Okay.
And lost. The Brazil 1 team played and lost to Germany. Brazil 2 played USA, defeated USA. So now it is Brazil 2 versus Germany for the gold, and the loser gets silver, and then USA against Brazil 1.
Which we won the bronze.
So.
Came back, too. We were down. Came back to win the bronze.
Now, how significant is this? I mean, we had the gold. We were defending our gold medal for the last, what? There was
three Olympics?
Well, three or four Olympics, something like that.
It was a defense and not a defense at the same time. It was a different team. So you really can't say that this team is defending their gold medal. But I did see something that Brazil was expecting to take medals in every volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Two golds in indoor, men's and women's. Gold, men's and women's in beach as well. Silver, men's and women's.
Pretty good.
Is it because Misty May Trainor's no longer on the team and we've got the young Ross who stepped in to take up for her? You know, I don't think you'll ever, I'm sorry, the young Ross who stepped in. The Walsh Trainor combo was lethal for years. And I think maybe it's her retiring and just not being there to fight with them.
From what I heard, there was some choking that happened at the net with Kerry Walsh.
See, and I didn't see the end of that match, so I can't answer that. Let's see.
Yeah, I had seen the majority of the first game, but that I didn't watch after that, so I'm not too familiar with how everything shook out. But just the fact that the USA did not end up getting gold again was, for all intents and purposes, a big deal.
Yes and no. I mean, they do say that Copacabana Beach is the birthplace of beach volleyball. So to have 12,000 screaming Brazilians playing against a Brazilian team, it's tough, no matter how good you are.
Yeah, home field advantage.
Absolutely.
In that,
and the men lost to the Brazil 1 team that went on to win the gold yesterday.
Yeah, it's kind of hard if you're going up against the country teams where it's their bread and butter. It was developed there.
Give a shout out to Bruno Schmidt.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bruno Oscar Schmidt. You can go ahead and explain.
So Bruno Oscar Schmidt, the one of the members of the beach volleyball team for Brazil, is the cousin of a guy that Weggs and I went to high school with. So we'll give him a shout out, bringing gold to Brazil, and named after his uncle, who is quite possibly one of the greatest Olympians the country of Brazil has ever seen. I believe 4 or 5 time, he has the record for most points in a game, basketball, 45 or 44 points.
Best baller that never played in the NBA,
exactly.
Right? Is that what we say?
Yeah, that is the catchphrase. He was pretty good.
Let's see.
He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, went in 2 or 3 years ago.
Kind of interesting. He was drafted.
By the Nets, right?
By the New Jersey Nets in the 6th round of the 84 draft.
He played all over. I think he played in Italy.
Brazil, Italy, Spain. He played from 95 to 03, all in Brazil. But he popped around earlier on in his career. But yeah, 7-time Italian League top scorer. Only player who has scored more than 1,000 points in the Olympic Games. Big deal. He was named as FIBA's onto their 50 greatest players list. Spanish League top scorer, and then 8-time Brazilian League top scorer. So definitely kind of a big deal. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I never got a chance to meet him, but you did, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Super nice guy. I'm very humble. Got a jersey signed. Just hanging in his closet. Here you go. Do you want it? Absolutely.
No, why not?
Yeah, I'll take it.
You offering? Very awesome. Very awesome. So, obviously, lots still to get to with Olympic stuff, but we have plenty of other stuff to talk about. I know we don't try to talk too much about MMA on this show, but we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Conor McGregor, Nick Diaz, the press conference from Wednesday, the shenanigans that went over in at about 1:30 on Wednesday afternoon in Las Vegas.
It was an epic battle of the tongue.
It was.
It was some trash talking to the max.
Yeah, and then some. But
and then some projectiles flying through the room, right, in bottles. It was.
Did people get hit? Didn't people get hit? I don't know. We'll find out on the other side of this break. This is Talking Sports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Holy Hog, the best barbecue in Tampa Bay. Winner of the 2013, 14, and 15 Best of the Bay. Holy Hog, the 2014 and 15 Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown Champs as well. Holy Hog has four convenient locations on Armenia, Henderson, Carrollwood, and downtown Tampa. Also two locations in Amalie Arena. Holy Hog can cater any size event, and the fall catering includes smoked hams and turkeys. So why cook during the holidays? Fresh smoked southern barbecue and homemade sides. Your hometown smokehouse, it's Holy Hog.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club, just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway, for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public, West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number one in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card. Just $25 for Florida residents and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg's Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What gourmet restaurant features spicy taco, buffalo blue cheese, garlic parm, caramel apple pie, and much more? Chef-inspired popcorn would be that place. That's right, chef-inspired popcorn. Located in Tampa at 7004 Hanley Road. Check them out at cipopcorn.com for more flavors, or they can work with you to come up with your very personal flavor. It's not just popcorn, it's chef-inspired.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Uriah Faber, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Fireball.
Very apropos having Uriah Faber bring us back. Big UFC, very much looking forward to that. Or are you? UFC 202 in Las Vegas this Saturday.
Not a lot of people are interested. They're slashing prices already.
I saw that. They slashed the prices 40%.
So is this why we had the big
thing
fight?
There we go.
up, there we go. Is this why we had the fight? You know, is this the pre-fight, the pre-scuttle? Was it just for publicity, gather ratings, and get people to tune in?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the slash happened after what happened yesterday or on Wednesday, right?
Was it? Okay.
I don't know. I'm asking. I only saw
the
reporting.
The last 24 hours.
Yeah, it was after that all happened.
Well,
I know,
that's disappointing.
I know my opinion. I want to hear your opinion. We can even throw it out to the phone lines. 866-826-1340. That's 866-TAN-1340. What do you guys think on what happened?
I think one of the reasons is, and it's something that Randy brought up on Wednesday, is the lack of hype. Really haven't heard much about it. Nothing on TV. The Olympics are going on. Maybe people are focusing more on that as opposed to the UFC 202 going on this Saturday.
Okay. I can see that, but I think it, correct me if I'm wrong, I'd say it's a safe assumption to say they took it too far, and at least Conor McGregor did, because Water bottles, one thing.
I don't think that has anything to do with it because it's so recent. The ticket sales, there were tons of tickets available a week ago, even before the water bottles and the Monster drinks were thrown.
Yeah, they were, but I think that... I think they were going to try to do something again to try to spike sales, but the throwing of the Monster cans, that's what I have the biggest problem with. Water bottles, one thing. Should they have done it? Absolutely not.
The water bottles, I don't think, are going to affect the ticket sales. The water bottles are going to affect the pay-per-view sales.
Yeah, that's probably right. I think you're right.
Because if you're going to Vegas for the fight, you're going to have your ticket before you get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to be the locals and the people who are traveling out there not for the fight, looking for something to do on a Saturday night. Hey, there's a fight going on. Let's go get tickets.
Now, is it the fact that this is at the T-Mobile Arena, this is a 20,000-seat venue for MMA and boxing.
A permanent arena.
It's a permanent arena, and it's one of the larger facilities that they use, at least for that, because a lot of the other casinos and venues they go to are roughly like 15,000 to 17,000. So they have to make up for more, put more butts in seats type deal. Does that have anything to do with their sales and trying to fill it up?
I think one of the biggest issues is the casinos itself, because I believe that the casinos would buy up a chunk of tickets, give them to the big gamblers, the whales out there, the VIPs. Now I would imagine that these suites that are in the T-Mobile Arena, which is owned partially by MGM, each individual casino would probably have its own suite. So those chunk of tickets, 15 to 20 a pop, are already in the casino's hands. Yeah. They're not buying extra tickets trying to wine and dine these guys.
Gotcha. And you know what? We can talk more about this, but obviously we have to go to Baltimore when Randy calls in to make sure that he gives us his two cents on the situation. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's go to the phone lines and welcome Randy to his own show. Hey, Randy, how you doing?
All right, in my best Robin Williams voice. Good morning, Talking Sports.
There we go.
What is going on? What subjects are we talking about? I know you're talking about tomorrow's fight, and we can get to that in a second. I need to vent for about 30 seconds, if that's okay.
Just 30 seconds?
I am. Yeah, just for 30 seconds. I know that the U.S. of A. is appalled. I know that Brazil is appalled.
Here we go.
About what the four swimmers did. But I just think, as somebody that did have guns pulled on me by police officers in Rio, I'm offended by him making up a story that police officers or fake police officers put guns to his head. That's all. Just wanted to say that.
Well, new theory. Randy, your opinion. Is it because of his silver hair?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, yeah.
Okay.
Anybody that has silver hair, yeah, for sure.
It's
Matter of fact, I'm walking around the city of Baltimore with a silver-haired dude.
is it Ryan Lochte?
It may be.
I think it's Steve Martin.
I'm here in the lobby. No, it's not Steve Martin, but it's a relative of his for sure. So, I'm sure you guys talked about the shenanigans that happened at the press conference, but what about the lowered ticket prices?
That's actually we had transitioned over to the 40% slash that happened over the last 24 hours for ticket prices, and we were talking specifically about what this means and what they're trying to do, what caused it, all of that stuff. So,
would you like to have been somebody that paid full price?
Yeah, right.
You know, somebody that paid, you know, what they were asking for 2-3 weeks ago. What I think this is going to happen, and it happens in other sports as well, and that's why so many times they don't lower the ticket prices and they don't give away tickets for this exact reason. Why buy a ticket 2 months out as soon as it goes on sale? Wait.
Now,
do
you think with the lowering of the ticket prices, especially because of the names that are on this card, that they're going to go back to MGM or Mandalay Bay and not do an event at the T-Mobile Arena unless it's absolutely huge?
I think they're stuck at the arena. What do you got, Randy?
I think we talked about this on Knockout Radio a couple days ago. I think they're backed into a hole that they're going to have to use the arena on X amount of events per year. So whatever's the bigger fights, they will still bring, you know, go there. But like I said to you guys the other day, I went to UFC 200 at the T-Mobile. I didn't like it. it's too big. Now, it's too big because of where I sat. I just think they're, I believe, and I know that we've argued this before, mixed martial arts and the UFC is not as big as we all think it is. It's just not.
Well, and another thing, talking about the size of events and trying to make sure that you have a big event to fill the full 20,000 seats, this is a McGregor-Diaz fight, and it's not a short-notice situation like the last one, and the last one set all sorts of records. Now you have an event that's planned for this that's supposed to be one of the biggest events that they've had. So if it doesn't fill, how much bigger can you get with an event to try to fill that arena?
As casual fans, and I'm talking about you guys at the studio, I'm talking about, you know, whoever's listening, you know, to the program, you know, if you're a casual fan, I think serious MMA fans, like what I consider myself, again, offended by what happened at the press conference. But what did you guys think? Are you okay with the boxing-ish that happened at that press conference?
Not even close. Not even close. I was not an especially big Conor McGregor fan in the first place. I think that he has, pardon the pun, but given the sport of MMA a black eye by doing this. I put this on both Nate and Conor, but I put more of this on Conor because of the monster cans. They're unopened, and he's throwing into a crowd of people. He actually put the company as a whole, not just Nate Diaz and his crew. He put the company as a whole at risk because if he hits somebody in the head and they get seriously injured...
Well, he did hit somebody in the head, and you can guarantee that there will be at least one lawsuit. And Dana's already said it. He's already expecting lawsuits. And they should be sued. And the UFC should be sued. And they're going to sue T-Mobile or wherever the press conference was. And they're going to sue everybody. And I blame Nate Diaz just as much as I blame Conor, whether it's a water bottle, a can, or whatever. But you know what else pisses me off? And I'm trying to talk as quickly as I can because I know we're almost at a break. I reposted it on my Facebook, and I think I put it on the Twitter. The arrogance of Conor McGregor signing those posters has me so riled. I may never go cover another Conor McGregor fight. I'm not saying I won't go to it. I'll go because of other people that may be on the card. But just the arrogance of him doing a check, you know, and he knows it's being filmed. You know, it's one thing if you're going to be a complete turd and nobody knows it. He knows he's being filmed. These are going to be sold, I'm going to guesstimate, because they used to go for 100, then they went up a little bit more, and depending on who signs it, I'll bet you those posters are going to be $300, $400. If you spend $400 and your Conor McGregor autograph is a check, A, you're stupid for paying for it, but it just irks me that Conor has come in a little John Jones-ish, meaning, and I've talked about my thinking of John Jones is, you know, he's more from a football family than an MMA family. So it's a little different. And just what Conor McGregor is doing is turning MMA and the UFC a little WWE-ish, a little boxing-ish. And I, as a fan and somebody that's covered this as long as I have, I don't like it.
Well, one of the things that you've said on multiple occasions is that one of the things about MMA fighters that makes them so relatable is the fact that they are down-to-earth individuals. And we've seen a handful of the superstars put themselves on these pedestals, and they believe their own hype. And I think that this is to the extreme. Personally, I would have been perfectly fine if at that moment when everything went down, Dana had said, "Conor, you're off the card." I'd be perfectly fine with him dropping Conor altogether from the UFC.
You may be okay with that. You may be okay with that. But Zuffa or the new ownership and everybody that paid for you, I mean, you can't do that. He's going to get fined. He's going to get fined. They're both going to probably get suspended, which is no big deal. Suspension in MMA is ridiculous. It means for the next 30 days you can't train or some crap. He'll get fined. It's no big deal. But that's not the point. What about he never shows up on time for press conferences?
Yep.
At the last press conference, we sat and waited almost an hour. We meaning fans. We meaning the media, the TV crews. I mean, who does he think he is? And he's taken the arrogance of Nick and Nate being late and whatever to a whole new level. And as long as people, and this is the same thing with anything, ticket prices, concert tickets, you know, going shopping or whatever, as long as you continue to put up with it, he's going to continue to do it. And until Dana steps up and does something about it, and how much can you fine him, though? If the guy really did make $36 million last year, how much are you going to fine him?
If doable, I would try to make him fight for as little as possible. I would fine him his, I don't know, are you allowed to fine him his show money? And if he wins, are you allowed to fine him his show and win bonus?
I don't know. And the fine isn't necessarily going to come from the UFC. The fine is going to come from
the Athletic Commission.
You know, the Athletic Commission.
Yeah.
The Nevada State Athletic Commission is going to levy the fine, the suspension, whatever. Now, they can do something as well, but you know the sizable portion of the fine and suspension and whatever will come from the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
Anything and everything that they can throw at him, I am perfectly fine with, both Connor and Nate Diaz.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Fine. I know we're going to hit a break. I'm going to hang up. I'll let you guys talk. I'll try to call back in. I'm headed over to the Babe Ruth Museum. I'll try to do a live call-in or something from there. Before I do, a big congratulations goes to Friends of Ours family, and that would be the Oscar Schmidt family. As I was pretty pumped, and I was rooting for Bruno Oscar Schmidt to win the gold. So you guys take care. Give me a call back. I'll call you whatever before the top of the hour.
Sounds great. Randy, thank you for calling in. And you guys have any parting shots real quick before we hit this break?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Yeah, hey, just don't get lost up there in Baltimore. Here's a little dangerous.
Yeah,
he hung up.
He's gone.
All right, so are we for this first half. Stick with us. You're talking sports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
At Tour de Pizza, we pride ourselves on making delicious, healthy food at an affordable price. Signature pizzas, fresh salads, hearty subs, and calzones. Tour de Pizza has it all and offers dine-in, carry-out, and delivery service. Tour de Pizza is located on 4th Street in St. Petersburg. So give them a call today, 727-895-5555. 727-895-5555. You'll be glad you did.
Got split ends? Thanks to Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends Salon, the whole Talking Sports team can say,
we look marvelous. Fabulous.
Split Ends Salon is a family hair salon with affordable prices and conveniently located at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park. Sarah, the colorist and style director, can do it all. And if Mick can make me look good, then you know he's a miracle worker. So give Got Split Ends a call today at 727-481-8605.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club, just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway, for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public, West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number one in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card, just $25 for Florida residents, and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
John Owen, you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Very, very apropos, Randy.
That's like the third time you've used that word, sir.
Well, I use it when I need to.
Well, what's is there a word limit?
Apropos. No.
Okay.
No.
Just,
no.
All right.
No, that's my word for the day. That's my word for the day. What was a couple weeks ago, I think fortuitous was my word.
Okay.
You should post something on Twitter before. This is my word of the day. I'm shooting for X number of uses.
Okay.
And go.
I don't know. I like doing it in sort of in the heat of the show because then I am not limiting myself either.
Well, no. You have a number that you want to reach. It doesn't mean you can't exceed that number.
No, I can, yeah, but I want to, I'm talking about picking a word. I don't know what it is until I have to use it.
Okay.
Because it has to be very apropos at the moment.
Gotcha. 10-4.
Hmm. All right. apropos.
What are we talking now?
So, Rays, surprise you at all that they are on a four-game win streak? They were at the Yankees, beat them 12-3. Then they come back home. They host the Padres, 8-2, 15-1, and then they beat them 2-0.
It was that 15-run streak that really caught my eye.
Yeah, they have gone over this four-game win streak. They've given up 6 runs. They've scored, quick math in public, 12, 8, 20, 35, 37 runs. 37-6 is their run differential. So that's not something you're expecting from a team like this. Is this indicative of any sort of cohesion? Is this just a streak? Is this just some good luck that they're hitting all four cylinders right now?
I think it's just good luck, timing, things like that. There's nothing you can look towards next year or even next week. I mean, the season is a wash.
Yeah,
they sold a bunch of players.
Too little, too late.
Does it surprise you that they kept Archer and Longoria?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I don't think you could get much for Archer.
Okay.
And Longoria is the face of the franchise. I don't see them getting rid of him.
Really?
That's the guy that they need to keep. Because once you get rid of him, those 12,000 people that are showing up, it's now 6.
Well, before, when they got rid of David Price, would you say that he was the
Longoria was the face of the franchise.
Even then?
Everyone knew Price was gone. It was a matter of time before he signed with either Boston or New York. And people said the same thing with Longoria, but they've locked him up long term, not getting the money that he deserves at that position.
So what are they going to do? Is this going to be the end of cash at the end of this season?
Should have been the end of cash at the All-Star break.
Should have, but they didn't. And obviously there's still some time left in the season. They don't necessarily have to stay with him. But is this one of those situations where you let him ride it out and see what happens for the end of the season? Or is this something you go ahead and make the switch and try to...
You can't switch now. Let him ride out the season. Get rid of him the first day of the off season. Get the new guy to come in, whoever it is, probably a month later. Put together his coaching staff and then let him go from there.
Gotcha. Toronto Blue Jays, they're at the top of the American League East right now, 69-52. Let's see. Cleveland at the top of the Central. Texas Rangers looking good, 72-50 in the West. Dodgers, Cubs, and Nationals at the top of their respective divisions in the National League. What are we expecting? It's getting mid-August now. We're getting close to the playoff push in September. So who are we looking at as our playoff teams, and who's going to do what?
I mean, you got to start at the top with the Cubs, right?
Yeah, which is funny because Cubs usually stands for what? Completely useless by September. And having right, yeah,
I'm
full of it. You hadn't heard that one. Well, it's true. And as someone who spent what 7 years in the St. Louis market, watching the Cardinals just decimate and destroy, it's just odd to tune into SportsCenter every morning and see the highlights of a team doing so well. Finally, is this their year? Is this the Cubs' year to take it all the way? And that's a good question to ask because, Lord knows, they don't have that opportunity often, if ever. So I think they need to go ahead and jump on that. They've got a real strong team. They made some great trades past it at the deadline there. And I think they're ramping up, and they see this as their year to win the World Series.
Do you think they're in a position where they could start off a run of deep playoff runs, maybe get back to sort of that greatness that we have known from them from decades past?
I think they've got a great playoff run in store, but I think true to form that we won't see them win, a Major League Championship. We won't see them pick a World Series up just because they are cursed, right?
He said that about Boston.
Yeah, but Boston, that, yeah.
They were down 3-0.
And that was a miracle. But I don't think the Cubs have got that in them. I don't think they know how to win a World Series, honestly.
Well, they have players that have been to the World Series, though. I mean, they have John Lester. They have coaches that have won a World Series. Or maybe not won, but Madden went to the World Series.
Yeah, Madden did
With the Rays in 10? Was it 10 against the Phillies?
I believe it was 08. Or 08.
Okay, 08. So they have some experience there. They've done a really, really good job of developing their young talent, too. Obviously, Bryant and Soler, big bats that they've been able to utilize. They built up their bullpen to get ready for the playoff push. And it's been pretty impressive to see what they've been able to do over the last two seasons. I disagree with you. I think that this might be their year. They might be able to do it. Again, it's always timing.
I mean, it's timing, it's preparation, but then there's some of it is just fate, that luck, and that
especially
curse that
overlays
them with baseball. Yeah. You know, so it's a mix of both. And they've got to have all those cylinders firing and then beat that curse that has been standing on them since, I believe, it's 1908. And I don't know if we'll see it. I believe that the best, arguably the best Cubs team I've seen the entire time I've been watching baseball. So since, what, I was like 5-4 years old, something like that, the best Cubs so far. But, you know, there's just a lot of factors, a lot of things they got to do right. And God knows that teams wake up come September and really start to put together magical things. And the Cubs have got to be ready for that, too.
Big perennial fight going on in the NL West as well. Dodgers, Giants, half game splits them. They're both at the top. Is this one of the...
It's an even year.
Yeah, so you're like, okay, well, Giants are due.
The team that gets hot in September, right?
Every single time. Every single time. They're able to, again, we always talk about all cylinders hitting at the same time. They're the ones who have a history of doing it. Bryce Harper with the Nationals, and they're at the top of the East. They have Scherzer, who's always a beast. And are we going to see anything from them?
I'm looking at the standings right now. Okay, so they're 71-49.
Right.
So they would play the Dodgers if the season were to end today.
Mm.
So let's look at the matchups, and you can go from there. I'm going old school with the one wild card, not the two. So the Giants would play the Cubs. So let's look at that. Cubs, Giants, Nationals, Dodgers. Play it out. I would have to say that the Dodgers would win. So if you're talking about the Nationals, it doesn't look good for them. That great offense.
As long as it stays that
as long
that
as it stays
matchup,
the same, yeah. And there you go, Cubs against Giants, the curse against the streak.
Now, so you're going with San Francisco beating St. Louis, though, right? In the playoff for the wild card playoff.
I'm just skipping the wild card playoff. I'm going
right
old school
and,
four
and just going okay.
Yeah, that's
it's tough. I mean, the National League is tough.
I'd say it's tougher than the American League. I will say, kind of surprised about the Indians still being at the top of the Central, especially with
it's sneaky.
Yeah,
sneaky quiet. Because when you look at it, when you think Cleveland Indians and you think of the pitching staff, because that's what you're going to need in September and October, what do you think of? Can you think of anything? But then you think of the Cubs. Or you think of the Giants, you think of the Nationals. Names come to mind that you want on the hill with the ball ready to go in a clutch situation.
Indians, you think they're riding that Cleveland wave right now?
They got some good luck going on.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Can you imagine? The city will burn down if they win another championship.
You have probably the most unrecognized champ out of this entire thing was Stipe Miocic going back to Cleveland with the heavyweight title.
The hockey team won one too. Their minor league hockey team won the title.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they had banners all over the city when I was there.
That's
it's like
cool.
The Erie Monsters. They were even in the parade with King James.
The entire team?
They had the hockey team go, too.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
You know, I'll take it a little further. Is this a Rust Belt revival? You know, these teams are, right in Ohio,
hashtag.
Obviously not too well. Is this a hashtag Rust Belt revival of these teams just playing? You know, this is a town, this is an area that has just been destroyed by the recession. And is this their epic story of just life and success and just feeding through and making it? Is Cleveland going to take it? You know, LeBron's back and won his championship, so... what do we have for the Indians? Is that what this is? Is this some good luck finally hitting the Rust Belt?
They're going to be bringing some excitement, I'm sure, coming down through September. We'll see how everything shakes out. Let's go ahead and hit our last break, pay these last bills, and then we'll see what we have left to talk about. Obviously, have to get to Bucks as well as the preseason forges on. This is Talking Sports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Holy Hog, the best barbecue in Tampa Bay. Winner of the 2013, 14, and 15 Best of the Bay. Holy Hog, the 2014 and 15 Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown Champs as well. Holy Hog has four convenient locations on Armenia, Henderson, Carrollwood, and downtown Tampa. Also two locations in Amalie Arena. Holy Hog can cater any size event, and the fall catering includes smoked hams and turkeys. So why cook during the holidays? Fresh smoked southern barbecue and homemade sides. Your hometown smokehouse, it's Holy Hog.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public. West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number one in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card. Just $25 for Florida residents and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system or the boxing or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Elm Avery in Tampa.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Alsat from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
There I was walking out of the Cobb Luxury Theater down at Tyrone. As I walk out, who walks by me? Mike Alstott with his daughter.
Mr. St. Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, is he still coaching at Northside?
I don't think so.
Really? Interesting.
I think last year was his last season.
Gotcha.
After
with
his
them.
Son. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes
but
sense.
I could be wrong. We'll find out this year.
You know, I was actually kind of, it was kind of interesting for me. I've, I have some friends that are they're military members. They're stationed around the world, and one of my buddies out in Japan shared a video, and it was a full Allstott highlight reel, basically saying that he couldn't wait. I didn't even know he was a Bucks fan. I don't know what got him started on the Bucks, because I don't think he's from this area. But at least an Allstott fan. You've had plenty of experience with him over the years.
All the way from the Mike Allstott camps that I went to for years over in Tampa, to getting to know him. Helped him out when I worked at the Forum with the Lightning. Always a great guy.
The quintessential blue-collar working running back.
And he wasn't even a running back.
Yeah, right?
That was the thing. He was listed as a fullback every single year, mm-hmm. and that was an easy way for him to get to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
They would use him as a running back, but that his position, what he was listed as, was a fullback.
Was a fullback. Just,
and he had no problem lowering the head and lead blocking.
That was the best thing about him. That's what everybody remembers about him is his ability to destroy the linebackers as they came through the line, or to be able to set up a block, making sure that whoever the quarterback at the time was, like Brad Johnson, back in what that was 02.
Oh yeah, we're going back years and years. Yeah.
Yeah, Super Bowl time frame. They don't have quite that type of player.
And there's not a stat for that. You can't even look and say,
the untangibles.
This is what he did.
Yeah.
You know, he was a lead blocker on this play, which led to X amount of yards, touchdown, game changer. You know, running the clock out at the end of the game. If it wasn't for that block, it's fourth down. They have to get rid of the ball. The Bucks are up by two. Kick a field goal, you know, and you lose.
Yeah, definitely a different look for the team this year. The wide receiver core, I think, is with the Humphreys. He was named third wide receiver. Obviously, you have V-Jax and Mike Evans.
Yeah, 1-2 are locked up.
Are your top two. Everybody's fighting for 3 and 4. So Humphreys gets named third. You have Lewis Murphy that's still in the mix.
And hurt. So he's on the outside looking in right now.
So that's why preseason, and this is one thing that Randy's been saying recently, is that preseason is used to round out the rest of the roster.
Roster, right. Which, absolutely. Yeah, speaking of, I think we'll bring us to that special team sleeper in Russell Shepard. You know, he really showed some amazing talent this past game. It was making big plays and looked like that of a caliber receiver he'd see in maybe the 1 or 2 slot there. I think he's trying to prove his mark and come up, because he's been hiding on special teams, but he's meant to be a receiver. And we'll see what they're going to do there.
And that's one of the things about having somebody who might be a wide receiver or running back or something like that playing special teams, because it keeps them involved. But then as long as they're able to remain healthy as well, then if somebody gets hurt either as a running back or a wide receiver goes down, they had big problems with wide receiver depth last year.
Yep, no, they sure did.
So you have somebody like this who's staying active, staying on the active roster in a special teams role, then somebody like that will be able to step up if you need them. And how, as the intangibles go, how important is it for somebody to stay on the active roster but in a different role, in this case as special teams? Or would it be better for somebody to be maybe on the practice team or a lesser role but at least still playing wide receiver? Because
I think it's
there
better.
Is a big difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I think it's better to stay there on the special teams. You know, you're actually playing, you're on the roster, you're making team, you're making it there. And then when it comes up to injuries, you know, if you're on the practice squad, you're kind of stuck. But when it comes to injuries, you know, especially mid-game injuries, your special teams is right there. You know, they're right there and available to pull from. And with a guy like Russell Shepard, if he continues to grow like this, I mean, the guy's got, what, 3 years now with the Bucs? I know he didn't make the – I think the Eagles cut him, 12 or 13. But for him to be there and be able to make those plays and for – as they kind of re-put together and retool and rework the offense here in Tampa Bay, I think that gives a guy like that a shot to succeed, a shot to be seen, and gives him some value both to the team and for himself. So if you're waiting and waiting, you're playing this practice squad, right? You could wait your whole time and never get picked up. But with him right there as a go-to guy in case of injury, in case of whatever the situation may be, he's got a better opportunity to prove himself as a real key player and become a key player, you know, move from special teams into the offense, which is, again, I think what we saw, you know, with his preseason play this week.
Getting back to running backs and special teams, I'm going through the roster right now, and I do see that Bobby Rainey is not on the team. So now that I don't know if that was a recent occurrence or if that was over the offseason where that happened, but a big thing with the depth issue with running back was making sure that everybody had some touches, but Rainey was also one of those special teams guys who still was able to stay on the roster, stay active, even though Martin and Sims were the ones that were primarily being used for the running back position. So if you get rid of somebody like Rainey, off the top of my head, I don't really know of too many other running backs that are going to be a strong backup. There's Storm Johnson is on the team. There's Mike James, Russell Hansbrough. So there's a couple, but who's going to be able to step in case Martin or Sims go down? I mean, Doug Martin, he's been a great asset, but he's also been injured multiple times. So you need to be able to still have the assets to step in to make sure your running game is going to be strong. Coach Cutter has said that the running game is going to be relied on heavily. To make sure they can manage the clock properly, make sure they open up the passing game for him as well. He's also said that the running backs will be used in the passing game. So the way you utilize those guys, the more you use them in different roles, the more tired they're going to get. And so you're going to need to switch them out, keep them fresh. So do you think running back depth is going to be an issue at all?
It could be. Again, and the other issue is, you know, we are your running backs, fullback weakness there. I mean, you know, if one of those guys goes down, who, right, you're saying it yourself, who do we go to put in their place? And does Tampa Bay have a strong fullback who can fill and push, you know, punch through and get those extra yards, kind of like you would see like a Tolbert in Carolina?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, you may know this, with Denny Vitale, he's listed as a tight end. Am I completely making this up, but I thought that I had heard something about him being actually used in sort of a sort of fullback type role. Am I just coming out of left field?
No. I mean, if it's something that he can do, you know, make yourself versatile. Hey, I can play tight end, but guess what? I can block too.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And, you know, you got to make yourself more valuable, just like on a baseball team. Play more than one position, you know, chances are you're going to be on the team.
Yeah, you give yourself more opportunity, you become more valuable. But yeah, those utility guys also in baseball, very important. Obviously, we saw with Bryn Zobrist and what he provided for the Rays, went out to Oakland, then he was with the Royals, and now he's popped everywhere now. Now he's with Toronto.
Who are you talking about?
Bryn Zobrist.
I believe it's Chicago.
He's in Chicago now.
Yeah.
Again, everywhere. It's one of those things where you have utility there with the utility player, but at some point in time you can be pushed to the wayside. So it's still important that he would need to be good at his primary tight end role. Correct, right? Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think he's, you know, maybe the super back role, the new super alleged super back thing where he's kind of hitting both positions from play to play, and that's just how they're working it in the roster, working it in the playbook.
2-for-1.
Gotcha. 2-for-1. Well, we had 3-for-1 today. Everybody here in studio, thanks for coming in, guys. Again, Randy's in Baltimore. Everybody, make sure you check out UFC 202, Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz. Going to be a good fight. Thanks for tuning in to Talking Sports. Follow us at Knockout Radio on Twitter as well as knockoutradio.com on Facebook. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.